إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session, reading from the advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Manhajun Yawmiyun Litalib al-Ilm, yani which has been translated as a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. Before we look at the topic that we're going to take tonight, and that is the first area of the four areas that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions concerning the manhaj yawmi for the talib al-ilm or for the Muslim in general. Before we look at this first area, we want to quickly review some of the points that we went over last week. And primarily, last week was the introduction in which we talked about the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, primarily. And just a couple of points, the last two questions related to what we read yesterday from the actual Arabic text of his advice. So we're going to look at the questions from last week, question and study guide number one. I know that last week we didn't give out a study guide, and we didn't give one out in paper print, but we did send the study guide out to the class, those on the email list. So hopefully, yani, you were able to work with that. Naam, with the help of Allah. Okay, so the first question is the title of the book in Arabic and English. The title of the book in Arabic and English. Nobody? Naam, Abdul Haq. Naam, manhaj yawmi li talib al-ilm. And the meaning in English? The daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. The second question mentioned the author, rahimahullah, his name, including the names of his father and his grandfather. The author's name, Naam, Ibrahim. Naam. Said Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Muhammad al-Uthaymeen al-Najdi al-Tamimi al-Najdi. Naam. Rahimahullah rahmatan wahida. Rahmatan wasiya. Third question. Mention the author, rahimahullah's place of birth, including the city that he was born in, the province or region, and the country. His place of birth. Naam. Murshid. You have to speak up a little bit, because you know I can't hear well, and then the fans and stuff.
I have a question about the name.
About the name. Naam, before
The biography.
The brief biography, uh-huh.
They say Ibn al-Uthaymeen.
Ibn al-Uthaymeen, naam.
Is it Uthaymeen or Ibn?
Ibn al-Uthaymeen, naam. Ibn al-Uthaymeen, naam. In Unayza, uh-huh. Qasim. Saudi Arabia, naam. And Unayza is the city, and Qasim is the area. And that's a big area in which there are some major cities, and from the most important of them, one of the most important of them, is the city of Unayza. Question number four, mention the author, rahimahullah's date of birth and death. Date of birth and death. Somebody give me the date of birth, somebody give me the date of death. Naam, help me, what is your name? Sulaiman, naam. My brain needs some oil. 27th of Ramadan, the year? 1347. Somebody else give me the date of his death. Naam Shu'aib. 15th of Shawwal. 1421 of the Hijra. Naam. So that means he was how old when he passed?
74.
Naam. Question number five. Mention three of the author, rahimahullah, most well-known teachers. Three of his most well-known teachers. Starting with his foremost teacher. Yani the teacher that he spent most of his time with. Naam, your name, Akhi? Ibrahim. Ibrahim, naam. Imam Al-Sa'di. Sheikh Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, naam. Somebody else. Second, naam. Well, somebody who didn't answer. Naam, Musa. Ibn Baz. Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And naam, Ibrahim? Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shanqiti, rahimahullah. Naam. And of course, the Sheikh had many other teachers. These are some of the foremost, most well-known of his teachers. Question number 6, mention something about his, rahimahullah, teaching style and occupation. That is, official teaching positions. Teaching style and his occupation, some of the positions that he held. First, let's talk about the teaching style. What was his teaching style? What can we say about it? Naam.
He didn't have ta'assub.
Yani he wasn't yani fanatical follower of a madhab, blind following a madhab. Even though yani he studied, he learned upon the madhab of the Hanabila. Naam. But he wasn't yani strictly blind following that madhab. Naam.
He wasn't afraid to go outside of the madhab in his rulings.
Naam.
He showed how strong he was, how strong of a holy man of the
of the usul, naam, of the usul, naam. What else? Anything else? Naam. Abdul Haq.
He didn't have like any religious prejudice.
Religious prejudice, uh-huh. Okay, uh-huh.
From what I've seen, actually, because some of his recordings, that he'd be very interactive with his students.
He was very interactive. That wasn't mentioned, but yes, he was very interactive with the students to the extent that if you sat in his gathering, you better pay attention, because he just called on people. Yani unannounced, unexpectedly. And he will tell you to stand up when you give the answer. So everybody will see who it is that is either knowing or not knowing. So definitely he used to make the students pay attention, pay careful attention. When he would come to Medina, yani in the Hajj season or any time he came, he would sit in the seat, in the circle of Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Jazari, who had the biggest circle in the Prophet's Masjid. And he used to teach there. Yani any time that he came to Medina, and there would be a large crowd of people normally there every day, and of course if he came and the people heard that he was there, it would be a larger crowd. And there were already hundreds, if not 1,000 people every day sitting in the Sheikh's circle, and he used to yani call on people in front of all everybody and tell you to stand up. So you had to pay attention. Now,
he gave fatwa based on the Quran and the Sunnah and according to the manhaj.
His fatwa was according to the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, yani based upon the Quran and Sunnah. Naam, and there were some other matters mentioned, but the point is, yani generally about his teaching style. What about his positions, religious positions that he held? Religious positions that he held. Yani in Unayza he was the imam and the khatib of the big masjid, Masjid al-Kabir al-Jami in Unayza. Naam. Professor of Usuluddin in the Sharia faculty, Kuliyat al-Sharia in Jamiatul Al-Imam Muhammad bin Saud al-Islamiyya. Naam. And also he was from his most important positions was that he was a member of the Council of the Major Scholars, Kibar al-Ulama. Naam. I mentioned something about the author, rahimahullah's character and manners with the people. Something about his character and manners with the people. Yani the most distinguishing thing about his character was what? His modesty, simplicity. Exemplary, yani manners in dealing with everybody, whoever he came in contact with. Yani he dealt with all the people the same, whether they were young or old, important people or otherwise. And his manners were the same with everyone. Which is really a lesson for us today. Yani to be conscious of dealing with everybody with the manners that are the manners of Islam, the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number 9, which didn't come from the biography of the Shaykh, discuss the affair which was the cause of this advice being written. What was the reason, the circumstance under which it was written? Anybody in the back? طيب فضل إبراهيم. يعني the circumstances under which this advice was written was due to a question that came from a student who asked him to write down, to compose, to put together a manhaj that a person can travel upon in their life, for their life. Naam. And the final question was what? Question number 10 mentioned the four areas of a Muslim's life which the author... Naam? Oh, did we skip that? Yeah, we skipped question number 7, right? Okay, so let's go back to question number 7. Jazakallah khair. Mention three of the author, rahimahullah's most well-known books. Three of his books. Oh, give me one. Somebody, give me one. Naam, Ibrahim. Sharh of Zad al-Mustaqniya. Which kind of book is this? Book of Fiqh. Yani on the madhab of the Hanabila. Naam. One of the most important books, one of the most beneficial books that the Shaykh wrote is the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. Tremendous, tremendous yani book. Naam. Yes, Shuaib. The what? Riyad al-Salihin. Explanation? Explanation of Riyad al-Salihin. Naam. In Hadith. What else? Naam. Arba'in al-Nawawi. Naam. The explanation of 40 Hadith. What else? Somebody, I heard somebody in the back. I don't know who it was. I heard the voice. Naam. Huh? Al-Qua'id al-Muthla. Naam. The yani exemplary principles concerning the names and sifat of Allah. Naam. Description of the Prophet's prayers, naam. Very important book in Salat, naam. Musa. The what? Usul al-Tafsir, yani fundamentals of Tafsir, naam. Introduction to fundamentals of Tafsir. Huh? Tafsir Ayat al-Kursi, Tafsir al-Fatiha has also been translated, tremendous. Sujood al-Sahw is a small essay concerning the prostrations when a person forgets or makes a mistake in the Salat. Very, very important. And very well outlined, easy to follow. Details, and to the extent that's necessary, with examples and proofs for whatever he said in it. It's a tremendous book on this subject. Now, okay, we'll stop with this. Yani, there are too many books. Yani, that's more than sufficient. And then we go to the last question. Mention the four areas of a Muslim's life which the author, rahimahullah, addresses in this brief advice. The four areas that he addresses in this brief advice. First one. The first one that we're going to look at tonight. Naam, Ibrahim. The manhaj with Allah Azza wa Jal. Naam. And the second area, Naam, Abdul Haq. The manhaj ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Anybody hands in the back? In the back first? طيب فضل.
عملك اليوم غير المفروضات.
Naam. عملك اليوم غير المفروضات. يعني your daily يعني deeds, worship, other than that which is obligatory. And the last area, Naam, tariqatu talab al-ilm, yani the way, the method or the manner of seeking knowledge. Naam, these are the areas that we're going to cover in these next few weeks, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And tonight we're going to start with the first area, and of course obviously the Shaykh, he begins yani mentioning the first area of the manhaj for the Muslim, for the talab al-ilm and for the Muslim generally. Daily routine or manhaj, he starts with the most important area in the life of a Muslim, and that is the manhaj of a Muslim with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Before we read yani from what the Shaykh said, the text of what he said in this first area, and he makes four points, and I would yani even suggest those of you who have good memories, whether young or old, that you memorize this manhaj of the Shaykh, that you memorize it. Yani, if it were in writing, in relatively fair-sized print, it will be on one page in Arabic. So it's possible, it's not that difficult to memorize, and it's worthy of memorization in that the person who memorizes it, then they will have these points and these factors, yani, with them all the time. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we read the Shaykh's first advice in this first area, the manhaj with Allah Azza wa Jalla, the introduction of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And he has made some comments on this advice of the Imam. And we're going to read his introduction before we read the text of what the Shaykh said and his comments upon it. Okay, the Shaykh, he begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. مقدمة المعلق يعني المعلق the one who is commenting on this advice of the Shaykh. He begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, sallallahu wa sallam alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. And the Shaykh begins by praising Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, and bearing witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners, and bearing witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His abd and His rasul. Yani that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the worshipper of Allah and His messenger. May the salat and salam be upon him and upon his family and upon his companions, all of them. Then the Shaykh supplicates for those that he is addressing, and we can make it a general supplication for whoever is reading or listening. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafiyan. The first thing the Shaykh supplicates for is that Allah grant us beneficial knowledge. And this is of the utmost importance, that we distinguish between the acquisition of knowledge in general and the acquisition of beneficial knowledge. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafiyan. We ask you, O Allah, for beneficial knowledge. Wa amalan salihan, and righteous actions, righteous deeds. Wa rizqan tayyiban, and provisions that are tayyib, that are pure and wholesome. Wa tawfiqan lima tuhibbuhu wa tardahu. Min sadeed al-aqwali wa salih al-a'mal. Yani, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq, yani success in achieving that which He loves and that which He is pleased with. That which He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves and that which He is pleased with. From correct speech and from righteous actions. Speech and actions. Amma ba'd. After this, the Shaykh, he says, Ma'ashar al-kiram wa ya ma'ashar tulab al-ilm, yani O distinguished gathering or assembly and students of knowledge. Yani the Shaykh in this speech is addressing a group of people at the Islamic University of Medina in the beginning of the year, students and other yani people who may have been in attendance, teachers and professors and employees of the university. He said, Haniyan lakum hadhi al-awda وهذا المجيء إلى هذا البلد المبارك بلد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا الالتقاء الالتحاق الطيب النافع بالجامعة الإسلامية. And he said, يعني, congratulations to you on this عودة, يعني for those students who are returning, and this مجيء, يعني arrival for those students who are coming for the first time to this blessed land, the land or the city of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this tayyib, yani good and beneficial iltihaq, yani acceptance or admittance into the Islamic University. Wa as'alullah jalla azza wa jalla an yamuddakum bitawfiqihi wa awnihi wa an yarzuqakum ajma'in al-ilm al-nafi' wal-amal al-salih bimannihi wa karamihi. And then the Shaykh again supplicates, and I want to note here that these supplications are of great importance if we believe that sincere supplication actually brings a benefit, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, call upon me and I will answer you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to call upon him and he promised that he will answer. We do believe that. And since we believe that, then these supplications and are of the utmost importance, because the person who is supplicating, if they are supplicating sincerely, yani from their heart, supplicating to Allah alone, then indeed we expect that Allah will respond to it. And here the Shaykh is supplicating for those who are present, and we ask that Allah extend that supplication to us. He says that I ask that Allah will help you all by granting you His tawfiq and His aun, yani that He gives you success in doing that which is good, and that He helps and supports and aids you in doing it, and that He grants to all of you ajma'in, beneficial knowledge and righteous actions due to His favor and His generosity. Yani beneficial knowledge and righteous actions as a result of His, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon us and His generosity. Yani that success in whatever we try to do of good is by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh, he says, وعادة ولا سيما في بداية العام وخاصة أيضا المستجدين في الطلب، يعني عادة يعني it is customary، يعني it is normal، it is regular، it is the habit، and especially in the beginning of the year، and especially for those who are new and seeking knowledge، يعني the new students and those who are on this path are new. He said كثيرا ما يسألون عن المنهج والمنهجية في طلب العلم وفي العبادة وفي حياة طلب العلم عموما، يعني that many of the people many times they are asking about the method، the way, the path, the program for seeking knowledge. And the manhaj in worship, yani in one's relationship with Allah and the worship of Allah. And in the life of the student of knowledge, generally speaking, yani this type of question is common, it is customary, it is normal, it is regular, and it occurs a lot, especially with the new students and especially in the beginning of the year. So the Shaykh is saying that this question is going to come as yani it normally does. And so he's going to address this question in this talk yani that he is delivering on this particular occasion. Yani question concerning what? Questions concerning the manhaj. How should a person seek knowledge? What should be their manhaj in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And yani the general life of the student of knowledge or the seeker of knowledge. And let me note here also that the translator, may Allah yani reward him generously of this yani advice of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen and the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, yani he has translated the manhaj yawmi as a routine, a daily routine. And it could be translated in other words, but it is a good yani way to express it, because what is intended here is something that you're going to do regularly, that you're going to be consistent in doing it all the time. And that's what's intended here. That this, that the advice that the Shaykh is giving here, that we're going to listen to in these coming sessions, is not something that we do occasionally, seasonally, yani sometimes. Rather, it's something, it should be our daily way of life. It's something that, yani if you have a daily routine that you get up in the morning, and inshallah you go to the masjid for the men to pray in jama'ah, and then you go to work or school or whatever, that's your daily routine, and then you come home and you do something. Well, this should be our daily routine. Yani what the Shaykh is advising us with in this yani manhaj, yawmi. So he said, you know, this is how he translated, so I just want to remind us that this should be our regular program. Every day this is what we should be doing, what we're going to read in this advice from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. So he said, this is a question, هذا سؤال كبير ومهم للغاية. Yani this is a big question, a very important question, and of the utmost importance. And he said, I have come across, يعني وقد وقفت على كتابة قيمة وتحرير نافية للشيخ ابن Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى. He said, I have come across yani a valuable writing and a beneficial document, yani composition or compilation of advices that the Shaykh has written here briefly for the Shaykh, yani Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. Sa'alahu sa'il, yani here the commentator Shaykh Abdul Razak is saying yani what was the occasion for this advice. He said, sa'alahu sa'ilun أن يكتب له منهجا يسير عليه في حياته. يعني that a questioner, يعني a student asks the Shaykh to write for him a manhaj, يعني a routine, a program, a methodology, a path that he can travel upon in his life. In his life. يعني so this also reminded to us, this statement from the Shaykh here is a reminder to us that this is a lifetime program. This is not something that we do while we are students in the university for 4 years, or we're in a mahad for so many years. Rather, this should be our routine, or our program, or the path that we travel upon throughout our life. فَكَتَبَ كِتَابَةً نَافِيًا جِدًّا نَقِفُ جَمِيعًا عَلَى مَا كَتَبَهُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَلِّقُ عَلَى كَلَامِهِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ. So the Shaykh said, we will all stop. يعني take a moment to look at. نَقِفُ جَمِيعًا. All of us will take a look, yani read, take a look at what the Shaykh Rahimahullah has written, And he said, I will comment upon his speech, upon the speech of the Shaykh rahimahullah, with whatever is easy. Yani whatever he finds easy to comment upon. And then he closes his introduction by saying, wa as'alu Allah azza wa jalla an yanfa'ani wa iyyakum bihadhihi al-manhajiyya allati harraraha wa katabaha nushan rahimahullah ta'ala. So he said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit me and all of you with this yani methodology or this routine that which the Shaykh has composed or compiled and which he has written as sincere advice. May Allah have mercy, may Allah the Most High have mercy upon him. After the introduction, the text of yani the Shaykh read, and we will read the text of the advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, and we'll then read yani his comments point by point. And again, in this first area of the four areas that the Shaykh wrote the manhaj upon, in this first area, the Shaykh has mentioned four advices in this area of the manhaj of the Muslim, yani their daily routine, their daily program of the Muslim, yani with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned four points. And of course, the first of those, the first area is the most important area, the manhaj with Allah, and the first point is the most important point in that area. Okay, the Shaykh, he says, قال العلامة ابن العثيمين رحمه الله للسائل, that the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen رحمه الله, he said to the questioner, فقد سألتني بارك الله فيك أن أضع لك منهجا تسير عليه في حياتك. يعني the Shaykh is introducing his advice by clarifying, يعني what I'm about to write is based on what you have asked for. That indeed you have asked me, you have requested from me, may Allah bless you, to write, to compile, to compose for you a manhaj, a methodology, a program, a course of action, a routine that you can travel upon in your life, yani throughout your life, for the whole of your life. This is what you have requested, that I write for you a manhaj for you to travel upon in your life. وَأَنِّي لَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُوَفِّقَنِي أو يوفقنا جميعا لما فيه الهدى والرشاد والصواب والسداد وأن يجعلنا هداة محتدين صالحين مسلمين. So the Shaykh, he supplicates, and again I'm reminding myself first and each of us, yani that this was clearly the manhaj of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz. He never used to speak to the people, and he never used to yani dictate to the people any advice, except he used to supplicate for the people yani continuously, again and again and again. And this is a manhaj yani that shows concern of the scholar for the people that he's addressing. He knows that his supplication, if he supplicates sincerely, Allah will respond to it. So he believes that his supplication is of benefit to the people that he's supplicating for. And this should be a lesson for us, yani that supplication is real. That it's not just yani speech to fill in the time, but it's real, it has meaning, it has purpose, and it has an effect on ourselves and on the people that we supplicate for. The Shaykh is supplicating yani here, that is Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he is supplicating for the one that he is addressing and whoever yani reads it. That I ask Allah the Most High to grant us all success. يُوَفِّقَنَا جَمِيعًا. Success in what? To achieve that which contains al-huda wal-rashad, yani that which contains right guidance and yani right reasonable conduct and behavior, mature behavior, was-sawab, that which is correct, was-sadad, yani hitting the mark, yani meaning yani when we go after something that we actually hit it on the head. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in this. And that He make all of us, that He make us hudat muhtadeen, that we are those who are guides for others and those who are rightly guided. That we be guides for others and that we be rightly guided. And this is also very important, yani, that we realize that we need to be rightly guided, and if we are rightly guided, then we should consciously realize and accept the reality that we may be guides for others, but we will not yani be guides, real guides, unless we are ourselves rightly guided, the Shaykh said, and that we be from amongst the Salihin, the Muslihin, that we be of those people who are righteous, who do righteous deeds themselves, and they also work towards the rectification, the reformation, and the correction of those who are around them. Yani Salihin wa Muslihin. After this supplication, Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen, the Shaykh says, فَأَقُولُ. So after this, he said, I say, يعني my advice, the manhaj that I am going to offer to you, أولاً مع الله عز وجل. يعني the first thing, يعني is the manhaj with Allah عز وجل. What would be our methodology, the path that we would travel, the course that we would take with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know what page we're reading from in English or in Arabic. We are reading from page 24. For those who are in Arabic, we're reading from page 24 right now. And in English, huh? Page 20. Naam. Yani for somebody who's coming in now, at least so they can have some idea where we're at. So the Shaykh said, "Awwalan ma Allah azza wa jalla qassama." Yani here, yani this is the quote. This is the end of the quote from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Now, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he's commenting on the first, yani, speech of the Shaykh. He says, قَسَّمَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذِهِ الْمَنْهَجِيَّةِ الَّتِي يَسِيرُ عَلَيْهَا الْمُسْلِمُ وَطَالُبُ الْعِلْمُ إِلَىٰ أَقْسَامُ القسم الأول مع الله قال أولا مع الله عز وجل. Yani, the Shaykh is saying, نعم, green, Nissan, great, faith, Jazakallah khair. Yani Shaykh Abdul Razak is saying that here he's saying what? That the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he has divided this routine or this course of action, this daily routine that the Muslim can travel upon in his life. He said he has divided up into divisions. And the first division is the manhaj with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And note that the Shaykh, he said here, يعني المنهجية التي يسير عليها المسلم وطالب العلم. يعني the Shaykh is saying that this manhaj is not just for the talib al-ilm, the seeker of knowledge, that is for every Muslim. And this, يعني the proof for this is that it is obligatory upon every Muslim to be a talib al-ilm, right? It is obligatory, yani talib al-ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. So every Muslim, whether they consider themselves as a talib al-ilm or not, it is obligatory that every Muslim seek knowledge. How then can you worship Allah without knowledge? So the Shaykh is saying here, this is the minhaj that the Muslim, not just the student, the seeker of knowledge, but the Muslim can travel upon in their life. He has divided into four divisions, and the first of them is the minhaj with Allah, yani the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, أولاً مع الله عز وجل. The Shaykh says, point number one, يعني in the manhaj with Allah عز وجل, احرص على أن تكون دائماً مع الله عز وجل, مستحضراً عظمته, متفكراً في آياته الكونية, مثل خلق السماوات والأرض, وما أودع فيهما من بالغ حكمته وباهر قدرته وعظيم وعظيم رحمته ومنته وآياته الشرعية التي بعث بها رسله ولا سيما خاتمهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the first point of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. يعني he says, احرص, يعني be diligent, be eager, yani strive, work hard at what? That you will be da'iman all the time, every day, day and night with Allah Azza wa Jalla. What will be your relationship with Allah? Yani that you should be striving to achieve, yani mustahdiran azamatahu, that you are calling to mind, always being conscious and aware of the magnificence, the greatness, the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُسْتَحْضِرًا عَظَمَتَهُ, that you are always trying to keep in the forefront of your mind the magnificence and the greatness, yani, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. mutafakkiran fi ayatihi, and that you are always, daiman, constantly, yani reflecting upon, contemplating, considering, looking into, thinking about his ayat, his signs. And the Shaykh, the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he mentions here two types of signs, and he doesn't concentrate on one of them, but in any case, we should know that he mentions two types of signs. He has divided the ayat of Allah into ayatihi al-kawniya, and he mentions also ayatihi al-shar'iyya. So there are ayat of Allah in the universe, yani the things that Allah created in the universe, and there are also ayat of Allah in what He has legislated, the laws, the divine law that He has legislated for humanity. So these are two types of the ayat of Allah, and the Shaykh, he says that we should be, yani calling to mind the greatness of Allah, and we should be reflecting, contemplating over the signs of Allah. Yani the first type of the signs of Allah, he says, ayatihi al-qawniya, yani the universal signs, the signs of Allah in the creation, like the creation of the heavens and the earth. For example, he means, yani this is one of the ayat al-qawniya, yani the creation of the heavens and the earth is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَوْدَعَ فِيهِمَا, and what Allah has placed in them, in the two of them, yani what He has placed in the heavens and what He has placed in the earth. مِنْ بَالِغِ حِكْمَتِهِ وَبَاهِرِ قُدْرَتِهِ وَعَظِيمِ رَحْمَتِهِ وَمِنَّتِهِ, yani from the signs, the ayat al-qawniya, that we should be reflecting upon, contemplating over, thinking about, yani looking into all the time, daiman ma Allah. Our minhaj with Allah requires of us that we are reflecting upon the signs of Allah, like the creation of the heavens and earth and what Allah has placed in them. What Allah has placed in them from, yani as a result of His, yani hikmah, balig hikmatihi, yani His far-reaching hikmah, yani hikmah that's not limited, but it's far-reaching, it's profound, yani the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based upon Allah's hikmah, yani the creation of the heavens and earth and what He has placed in them is due to His far-reaching wisdom. وَبَاهِرِ قُدْرَتِهِ, and the brilliant display of His qudra, His power and His ability. وَعَظِيمْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَمِنَّتِهِ, and the greatness of His mercy and His favor upon His creation. Yani when we look at what we see, and Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, the teacher of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, yani in his tafsir of the ayah, from the last ayahs from Surah Ali Imran, he has gone into some detail concerning this particular point here, which inshallah if we yani, are able to, we'll try to look at least yani, some of what he said concerning this. But the point here is that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he's saying that from the ayat al-qawniya, and we said that there are ayat al-qawniya and ayat al-shara'iyya. From the ayat al-qawniya, there are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, for example, the creation of the heavens and earth and what Allah has placed in them, based upon His hikmah, and based upon His qudra, and based upon His rahmah and His minna. Yani these are some of the characteristics of Allah and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are reflected in the creation of the heavens and the earth and what He has placed in them. Yani Allah's wisdom, Allah's power, Allah's mercy, and Allah's favor, yani His kindness, His generosity to His creation. If someone were to reflect upon the ayat in the yani the ayat al-qawniya, then we will see Allah's power, and we will see Allah's wisdom, and we will see Allah's mercy, and we will see Allah's generosity and His favor upon His created beings. And then the Shaykh says, in the second group of ayat, ayatihi al-shara'iyya, allati ba'atha biha rusulahu, the ayat, the legislative ayat, yani the things, the signs in what Allah has legislated, the laws that Allah has made for humanity to live by. In what Allah has legislated for the humanity, yani for the creatures, there's also signs in what He has legislated. Those laws that He has sent His messengers with. And especially, وَلَا سِيَمَا, especially the seal of the prophets and messengers, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. especially in the Sharia that Allah has sent him with. Yani in the Sharia that Allah sent every Prophet and Messenger with, but especially the Sharia of the seal of the Prophet, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what the Shaykh has said. This is the first point of the minhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani this first point, yani if a person read it one time, they might not really get the point well. You have to actually read it a few times and reflect upon what he has said in order to understand the importance of what he's saying here. And what he's saying here is that in our minhaj with Allah, first and foremost, we must constantly call to mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must reflect upon and think how great, how magnificent is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that a Muslim should constantly have in the forefront of their mind. It's not an afterthought or something that you think about once in a while when you're reading the Quran or when you're performing salat or on certain occasions that you might think about the greatness of Allah. Rather, the manhaj of the Muslim, and especially the talib al-ilm, is that that Muslim is constantly conscious of, yani calling to mind, making an effort to think about and to reflect upon and to be aware of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is important. And then to reflect upon, to contemplate over the signs of Allah in the creation and in the laws of Allah that He has legislated for humanity. This is the first point of the Shaykh, the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhahullah, Allah protect and preserve him. He said, "في هذه النقطة الأولى دعا دعا طالب العلم أن يعني بهذه وبهذا الجانب وهو جانب يغفل عنه يعني التفكر في ملكوت الله في ملكوت الله." I'm going to stop here and say that the Shaykh is saying this is the first point. In this first point, يعني of the four points of the manhaj with Allah, the Shaykh, يعني الأثيمين, Imam Al-Uthaymeen, he has called upon, يعني he has requested that the student of knowledge, and rather we will say that every Muslim give attention and care and show concern for this area. And it is an area that is يغفل عنه, يعني that many of the people are unattentive to, that are unmindful of, are neglectful of. People are neglectful of this particular area. So the Shaykh is starting with this first, the thing that most of the people are not conscious of. Yani if you wanted to teach Muslims to do something of great importance, almost all Muslims pray, right? Almost all Muslims pray. Yani in Ramadan, most of the Muslims fast. I don't know what numbers, but most of the Muslims are probably fasting in Ramadan, even if they don't fast any other time, even if they don't pray any other time. Yani there are some areas that people are conscious of and they're aware of, and then there are things that people are not aware of. The Shaykh has started with that which, he said, most of the people, or many of the people, are unattentive of this, are inattentive to this affair, are unmindful of it. And that is the need to be consciously, yani striving, making an effort to be conscious of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to reflect upon His ayat. The Shaykh is saying this is the first point, that we are being called to give care, to give attention, to show concern for this area. And that is, and this is an area that which yani many people are unmindful of. And that is reflection upon the malakut, yani the things, the what Allah possess in the universe, yani the dominion of Allah, the sovereignty of Allah, the creation of Allah, His kingdom. Yani to reflect upon all of what exists that it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first yani point, to reflect upon this, to be conscious of this, to be aware of it. Then the Shaykh says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حَدْيِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّمَا يَسْتَيْقِظُ مِنْ آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ وَفِي جَوْفِهِ فَيَبْدَعُ بِقِرَاءَةِ الْآيَاتِ مِنْ خَوَاتِيمِ سُورَةُ آلِ إِمْرَانِ إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. هذه دعوة للتفكر كل ليلة كل ليلة. The Shaykh, he's saying here, the first point is that we give care to this affair, and that is reflecting upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the things that Allah has created and what He has placed in them, and how He has created them, and to the end of it, he said, and look to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani that one should look to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you wake up in the night. What was the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when one wakes up at the end of the night or in the middle of the night? It was that he began by reciting ayat from the final closing ayat of Surah Ali Imran. Yani indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day, there are ayat, signs for ulul albab. Yani the people who have minds and the ability to think, the people of understanding. Ulul uqul. Those who, then he describes the ulul albab as those who يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. Those who remember Allah, who praise and glorify Allah, standing and sitting and laying on their sides. ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض, and they reflect upon, contemplate, ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. And they supplicate, يعني, O our Lord, indeed you have not created this batilan, without some purpose. Subhanaka, yani subhanaka, yani oh how perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani subhanaka, yani it's a declaration, we are declaring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from imperfections, of shortcomings, or whatever has been falsely ascribed to Him. Faqina adhabana, therefore, yani protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. Yani here the Shaykh, that is Shaykh Abdul Razak, in his commentary on the Shaykh's first point, he said, look to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of waking up at the end of the night or in the middle of the night, and how he began by reading the ayat from the final ayat of Surah Ali Imran, the third surah of the Quran, yani ayat 200 until the, 190 until the end, 200, naam. And then he recited two of those ayats, yani, which I believe is ayat 190 and ayat 191, naam. In the footnote to this statement, the hadith that the Shaykh, or a hadith from the ahadith, yani which deal with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of waking up in the night, yani there's the mention of a hadith, yani that has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in which he said, "Bittu 'inda khalati Maymuna radiallahu anha," yani that I spent the night with my maternal aunt, yani his mother's sister, Maymuna, radiallahu anha, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhunna. Ibn Abbas says, فَتَحَدَّثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا أَهْلِهِ سَاعَةً. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had some conversation with his family, yani with his wife, yani the aunt of Ibn Abbas, for some time. ثُمَّ رَقَدَ, then he lay down and went to sleep. فَلَمَّا كَانَ ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ, so when the last, yani the last third of the night came, قَعَدَ, yani the Prophet sat up, فَنَظَرَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, and he looked to the heavens, and then he said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and the day, they are indeed signs for the ulul albab. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says in this hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, ثُمَّ قَامَ, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sat up, he looked to the heavens, and he recited these ayat. ثُمَّ قَامَ, then he got up, he stood up. فَتَوَضَّى, then he performed ablution. وَاسْتَنَّى, and used the miswak to brush his teeth. فَصَلَّى إِحْدَى عَشَرَ Raka'atan, and then he performed 11 raka'ah of prayer. ثُمَّ أَذْنَ بِلَالٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, then Bilal announced the time for the prayer, called the adhan. فَصَلَّ رَكَعَتَيْنِ, and the Prophet performed 2 raka'ah, meaning the 2 raka'ah sunnah of fajr. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ, then he went out of his room, yani into the masjid. فَصَلَّ الصُّبْح, yani al-fajr, and then he performed the dawn prayer. Yani This particular hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim is one of the narrations that came in Bukhari, one of many narrations from Ibn Abbas dealing with the hadji, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for one when they wake up in the middle of the night. And I know that our time is limited, but I feel compelled to remind myself first and each of us that as Muslims, generally speaking, and as people who consider themselves Ahl Sunnah more particularly, it is incumbent upon us to give weight to and to give our attention to yani that which has been described as the Hajj, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every affair. If we knew something is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's incumbent upon us to give our attention to it so that we can know it well, so that we can understand it for the purpose, for the intent of acting upon it. So we are not reading this hadith for the sake of reading. Rather, it is a reminder to each of us that this was the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when he woke up in the night, the first thing that Ibn Abbas saw him do was what? Huh? The first thing when he sat up, he looked to the heavens and he recited this ayat, or these ayat. Rather, ayat he recited. And after he recited that, he did what? He stood up and performed ablution. And he also used the miswak. And then he prayed the night prayer, the tahajjud. Then he prayed the night prayer. And in some of the narrations it said he laid down until Bilal announced the time of the dawn prayer. And when he announced it, he prayed two rak'ah, and he in his house. And then yani he left his house and went into the masjid, and then he led the people in the Fajr prayer. This was the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the following narration in Bukhari, this is narration number 4569. The following hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari is narrated in the book of Tafsir 4570. And, Yarhamukallah. And 4571. Another narration of Ibn Abbas of the same incident in this narration, and I bring it to our attention for two reasons. The main reason is because the second narration, and this is also a point yani of learning. This is a point of learning that sometimes a person might read a hadith and they didn't read the other hadith related to that subject and they only got part of the picture. And therefore it's incumbent upon us when a person wants to know the whole story, the whole issue in a mas'ala, we have to read the evidences that are related to it. Not one hadith, but whatever hadith came that's authentic, that's related to it. So if a person read that hadith alone, then they wouldn't have known. It would not have been clear that in this narration, Ibn Abbas says that the Prophet ﷺ got up and he recited, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَةٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. ثُمَّ قَامَ. He recited that ayat, which is one ayat, ayah 190. And then he got up and he made wudu. And that might lead a person to believe that the Prophet ﷺ only recited this one ayat. But if we read the next hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that follows this one, also narrated from Abdul Abbas, it says that he said, I spent the night with my aunt, Maymuna, and I said, I will look to see how was the salat of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani his intent was to see how the Prophet performed the night prayer. He wanted to see directly what he was doing in the night. For what reason? So that he could do the same thing. So that he could do the same thing. Yani he wanted to know what was the sunnah of the Prophet, not just for accumulation of information, but rather to act upon it. To act upon it. Unlike, unfortunately, some of the people today, may Allah save us from being from them, who seek to accumulate knowledge for the sake of knowledge without having an intent to act upon it. Without having an intent to act upon it. But Ibn Abbas said, I wanted to see how the Prophet ﷺ, what was his prayer like in the night? He said that a pillow was placed for the Prophet ﷺ and he slept upon it lengthwise. And he says in another narration, in Bukhari as well, he said that he slept for some time and then he awakened. He said, and he began to wipe away the traces of sleep from his face. And this is the point of this narration here that I want to make. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ الْآيَاتِ الْعَشْرَ الْأَوَاخِرَ. Then he recited the last 10 ayats. من آل إمران يعني سورة آل إمران حتى ختم until he completed the surah and then he says يعني then he got up and he made ablution and he brushed his teeth and he said that I got up behind him and I did the same thing that he did يعني he got up and made wudu I got up and made wudu he stood up and started praying and I stood beside him to pray also and what's the point here well there are a number of points one of the points is that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma who became one of the great scholars of the Ummah of Islam even as a young boy because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one of the narrations he said to his wife Maymuna the aunt of Ibn Abbas he said when he came in has the boy prayed he asked about the boy did he pray like if he didn't pray we're going to wake him up to pray the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his wife Maymuna the aunt of Ibn Abbas when he came home Maybe Ibn Abbas was sleeping or appeared to be sleeping. He said, has the boy prayed? Yani meaning that he was a young man. He wasn't an adult. But even for the young people, we have to have concern that they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a point that we made continuously in the past, that we have to attend to our children and be concerned about them. Not when they reach the age of responsibility where it's mandatory for them to pray, but rather even before that time comes, we should be giving attention to these affairs. In any case, the main point I wanted to make from this narration is that Ibn Abbas, in this narration in Bukhari, he said, ثُمَّ قَرَعَ الْآيَاتِ الْعَشْرَ الْأَوَاخِرَ مِنْ آلِ إِمْرَانِ حَتَّى خَتَمَ Yani that the Prophet ﷺ didn't just recite that one ayat that's mentioned in the previous narration, rather he recited the 10 ayats of Ali Imran until he finished the surah. And then he got up and then he performed ablution and brushed his teeth and made the night prayer. In this narration in Bukhari, Ibn Abbas says, ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ Literally he said, ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ 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 ثُمَّ أَوْتَرَ How many raka? Some of us, we are not counting well.
No, rak'ah. 13.
13 rak'ah. 13 rak'ah. قال القسطلاني في إرشاد الساري. يعني الإمام القسطلاني in his explanation Sahih al-Bukhari entitled إرشاد الساري, he said, الآيات العشرة الأواخرة. يعني which? The first of them is إن في خلق السماوات والأرض. This is the first point. That the ayat he began with was this ayat. But then he read to the end of the surah, حَتَّى خَتَمَ يعني حَتَّى خَتَمَ الْعَشَرَ The whole 10 ayats. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ And he mentions the statement of Ibn Abbas, then he prayed 2 rak'ah, then 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 2 rak'ah. ثُمَّ أَوْتَرَ He said, سِتَّ مَرَّاتٍ يعني he prayed 2 rak'ah, سِتَّ مَرَّاتٍ بِإِثْنَ عَشْرَ رَكَعَ ثُمَّ أَوْتَرَ بِوَاحِدٍ And then he made witr with one rak'ah. فَهِيَ ثَلَاثَةَ عَشَرَ رَكَعَ فَهِيَ ثَلَاثَةَ عَشَرَ رَكَعَ يُسَلِّمُ بَيْنَ كُلِّ رَكَعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ أَوْتَرَ And he would make taslim between every 2 rak'ah and then he performed the witr. So this is also another benefit that makes us to understand the importance. And when you're studying a subject, you have to read all of the narrations. If you read the following narration after this, there are also points that came yani in the narrations of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Abbas concerning this particular event. What is important here is that the Prophet ﷺ recited not one ayah from the end of Ali Imran, rather he recited from that first ayat, yani the Shaykh he said that was the first ayat that he began with, and then he recited until the end of the Surah, Surah Ali Imran. And then he got up and made ablution and brushed his teeth and performed the night prayer. We know that the Prophet ﷺ sometimes prayed more or less rak'ah. Yani he didn't always pray 11 rak'ah, that was what he normally prayed. But sometimes he prayed a different number. And according to this narration of Ibn Abbas, he prayed 13 rak'ah. And there are other narrations where he prayed 7 rak'ah or less than that or more than that. So this is also a point of benefit. Point of benefit. Okay, so again, going back now to the statement, yani the ta'liq or the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, he said, look to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani that the Muslim must look at the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that he may follow it. If you wake up in the night, in the end of the night before Fajr, or in the middle of the night, then you should begin by reciting these ayats from the final ayats of Surah Ali Imran, beginning with Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard. And the importance of this ayat can only be known when we read the tafsirs, the tafasir concerning yani what the scholars have said about these ayats, the tremendous benefits that they contain, and perhaps yani we may also look at a little bit of that. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, he said that after yani mentioning this point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got up in the night, he will begin by reciting these ayats. He says, "Hadhihi da'watun litafakkur kulla laylatin." Yani this is an invitation from the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. By mentioning this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this and recited this ayat, that this is an invitation. These ayat are an invitation for one to reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth, rather to reflect upon the ayat of Allah in the creation, as well as yani other than that. Da'watun litafakkur kulla laylatin, that every night when a person awakes in the night, they should begin by reciting these ayat. Na'am. وهذا التفكر يشغل القلب بعظائم الأمور ونافعها عن الوساوس التي تمتلئ بها القلوب في الغالب. That this reflection upon the ayat of Allah, the creation of the heavens and the earth, and so on, that this will occupy the heart of the human being with reflection, pondering, contemplation upon the great affairs and those things which are beneficial, and distract the person from the wasawis, the whisperings of shaitan, that fil ghalib, generally, most of the time, will fill the hearts of the human beings. Yani, he is saying here that often, regularly, it is common that people's hearts and their minds are filled with whisperings of shaitan. Yani, with thoughts and reflections upon things which are not of any benefit, insignificant things. And here we're being called, we're being invited to reflect upon the important things, the things that are of benefit, things that point to and remind us of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and His greatness, and His magnificence, and His wisdom, and His mercy, and His favor upon His created beings. لكن إذا شغل الإنسان قلبه بالتفكر في هذه المخلوقات الدالة على عظمة من خلقها وكمال من أبدعها وقدرة من أوجدها فهي دالة على الخالق كما قال القائل وفي كل شيء له آية وفي كل شيء له آية. يعني the Shaykh, he says here that this is an invitation to reflection upon the things of importance, yani the great creations, the things that Allah has created in the heavens and the earth, and what He has placed in them, as opposed to our hearts or our minds being occupied with things of no significance and of no importance. So that if a person occupies their heart with a tafakkur, reflection or contemplation upon these yani created things, the things that Allah has created, which point to His magnificence, which point to His greatness, or point to the greatness of the One who created them, and the perfection of the One who brought them into existence, and the power and the ability of the One who, yani, brought them from non-existence to existence. Naam. Whoever reflects upon these things that point to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His greatness, to His perfection, and His power and His ability, then the reflection upon these things, yani these makhluqat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will point to the Creator in the same way that it has been said, in everything there is for Him a sign. Yani in everything in the creation, there is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In everything in the creation, there's an ayah that points to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this statement, the Shaykh is quoting from some lines of poetry, and which deals with this particular matter. Naam. فَهِيَ دَلَائِلْ وَبَرَاهِينْ عَلَىٰ كَمَالِ الْخَالِقِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ. So, yani the reflection upon the great yani creations of Allah, reflection upon the sun and the moon and the stars and the system that Allah has created in the universe, the revolution yani of these, of the planets and the revolving yani of the movement of the great created things that are created in the creation that Allah has created, yani reflection upon these things, they are evidences and they are proofs of the perfection of the Creator and of His greatness. Reflecting on these things will help us to be reminded of and to be conscious of and to be aware of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His perfection. وَلِهَذَا مِنَ الْأُمُورَ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْنِيَ بِهَا طَالُبُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْمُسْلِمْ عُمُومًا أَنْ يَحْرِصَ دَائِمًا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. The Shaykh closes his commentary with this particular statement, yani that these things will help. These things are indeed indications, and they are proofs of the perfection of the Creator and of His greatness and His magnificence. And for this reason, from amongst those things that is incumbent upon the student of knowledge and the Muslim in general to give attention to, is that a person be diligent, that they be eager, that they strive daiman, all the time, yani to call to mind yani this affair, yani to call to mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to reflect upon His ayat in the creation. And as well, even though the Shaykh didn't yani make any commentary upon the ayat in the Sharia, in the laws of Allah, but also to reflect when a person studies the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we read yani the laws of Allah, whether we find what the basis of them in the Quran or in the Sunnah or the sources of Islam, yani a person should reflect upon these ayat of Allah in the Sharia that also point to the perfection of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the perfect knowledge of Allah, the mercy and the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that He has legislated His laws, as well as yani we see the perfection of Allah in the way that He has created the creation. This is the first matter. And I know the time is coming close to the adhan for Maghrib. So perhaps we'll just take a couple of moments here and look at I don't know if I misplaced. Huh? No, no. I don't need. Actually, I have a paper here. Allahu musta'an. Just a few moments, yani, to reflect upon the ayat, or at least yani the first two ayat that the Shaykh mentions in his commentary. That from the ayat that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite in the night, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day, there are signs for the أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, yani the Shaykh of Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he says that Allah the Most High is informing us in these words that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day are signs for the ulul albab. He said, within these words, there's an encouragement upon the worshippers to reflect, يعني تفكر فيها, to reflect upon the creation of the heaven and the earth. وَالتَبَصُّرُ بِآيَاتِهَا وَالتَدَبُّرُ خَلْقِهَا. That a person reflect upon, that they look at and ponder over and contemplate these things in the creation. Yani, the statement that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth are signs for the ulul albab contain an encouragement for us to do so, to reflect upon this, to ponder over it, and to يعني contemplate these signs. The Shaykh, he says, these signs are so many, Allah didn't try to mention them, but rather he just said ayat, without clarifying which kind of ayat, he said the ayat. And this is an indication, or an indirect pointing to the fact that the ayat are many. So he made it general, because yani in these ayat, there are amazing things that would dazzle the one who looks at them, that would yani convince the one who reflects upon them, that would attract the hearts of those who are truthful, and would yani call to the attention of the people who have intellects, yani to many, many divine affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the creation of the heavens and the earth. As far as the details of what is in these signs, the Shaykh said it's not possible for a created being to know them all, yani to encompass them all, rather even some of them. But in general he said, فَفِيهَا مِنَ الْعَظَمَ وَالسَّعَى وَانْتِظَامَ السَّيْرُ وَالْحَرَكَةِ مَا يُدُلُّ عَلَى عَظَمَةِ خَالِقِهَا وَعَظَمَةِ سُلْطَانِهِ وَشُمُولُ قُدْرَتِهِ. يعني from what we see in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the system of the movement of the things in the creation of the heavens and earth, they are signs that point to the greatness of the one who created them, that point to the greatness of the authority of the one who created them, and that point to the all-inclusiveness of his power. And also, if we look at the ihkam and the iqpan, the perfection and the uniqueness of what Allah has created, and the fine points of his action, this will point to the wisdom of Allah, the hikmah of Allah, and the fact that he has placed all of these things in their place, and the expansiveness of his knowledge. And if we look at the benefit that we find for the creation in the things that Allah has created, this will also point to the vastness of the mercy of Allah, and the his general favor upon the creatures, and his kindness to the creatures, and the obligation of being grateful for such. All of this points us to the need of the hearts to be connected to the one who created these things, and that we exert an effort in seeking his pleasure, and that we do not associate anything with him from that which doesn't possess any control over itself or over anything else. Yani which doesn't possess even an atom's weight of any control over anything in the earth or in the heavens. Yani all of this is an indication that our hearts should be connected to the one who created these things, and that we should exert an effort to seek his pleasure, and that we should not worship anything besides him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled out the ulul albab, that in the creation of the heaven and the earth there are signs for the ulul albab. He said these are the ahlul uqub, the people who have intellects. And that is because these are the people who will benefit from reflecting upon the creation of the heavens and the earth. Yani these are the people who would look at the creation of the heavens and the earth using their minds, not just look at it with their eyesight. Yani some people may look at the beauty of the creation of the heavens and the earth without reflecting upon what they contain within them, which points not only to the beauty of the creation, but points more so to the greatness of the one who created them, his wisdom, his power, his favor, his mercy, and so on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the second ayat the ulul albab, and they are those who yadhkurun Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim, and they are those who remember Allah in all situations or circumstances, yani standing, sitting, and lying on their sides. And this includes all types of dhikr, yani whether the dhikr of the speech of a person remembering Allah by saying subhanallah, or the dhikr of the qalb, the heart of the person who reflects consciously upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also included in this is the salat, whether a person is standing, or if they are not able to stand, and they are sitting, and if they are not able to sit, then they are laying on their sides, as mentioned in the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, when he asked the Prophet about praying, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, pray standing if you're not able, then pray sitting if you're not able, then pray lying on your side. And then he mentions, and that they are also, the ulul albab, are not only those who remember Allah in every situation or circumstance, but they are also those who يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And this is what the Shaykh concentrated on in this advice, yani contemplating over the creation of the heavens and the earth, which would direct the person who contemplates upon this, that there was an intention, yani that Allah had an objective and a goal in the creation of the heavens and the earth. And this, yani فَدَلَّ هَذَا عَلَىٰ أَنَّ التَّفَكُّرَ عِبَادَةً. And this indicates to us that reflection, contemplation, yani upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an act of ibadah. That's from the characteristics of the awliya of Allah. So if a person reflects upon the creation of the heavens and the earth, then they will come to know Allah. And they will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create it without a purpose. And that's why they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقَتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. That indeed, O Allah, you haven't created this without a purpose. And in Subhanaka, we declare you to be free from everything that is not suitable, that is not befitting of your majesty and your greatness and your glory. Rather, you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has created this creation بِالْحَقْ وَلِلْحَقْ وَمُشْتَمِلَ عَلَى الْحَقْ. Yani, indeed, Allah has created the creation yani by means of truth, and He has created it for the benefit of the truth, and His creation is composed of the truth. And then the Shaykh, he closes by saying, فَقِنَا عَذَابِ النَّارِ. And this is what the ulul albab, they say, yani, O Allah, protect us from our sins and grant us success in doing righteous deeds, so that we may achieve or earn salvation from the hellfire. And this yani dua, asking Allah to protect us from the hellfire, includes within it the asking of Allah for the Jannah. Because if a person is protected from the punishment of the fire, then that person will have achieved the Jannah. However, when the person stood up yani out of fear, with fear in their hearts, yani fearing the hellfire, then they supplicated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which was most important, or most yani in the forefront of their mind, and that is to seek protection from the hellfire. And this, asking Allah to protect you from the hellfire, also includes asking Allah to grant you the paradise. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I think the adhan is going to be called momentarily. If there's a question about anything that we left unclear, that we didn't make clear, we'll take a question about something that's not clear. Naam. Naam. Naam, I'm listening.
In the hadith, it claimed that the Prophet ﷺ prayed Rakatayn al-Fajr after the Adhan of Bilal.
No. He prayed two Raka once the Adhan is called, yani at the time of the break of dawn. Naam.
But there are some hadiths mentioning, I don't know if this is only for Ramadan, that there are two Adhan, that the Adhan of Fajr entered the Adhan of
Naam, that is from the Sunnah that there's two adhans for Salatul Fajr. Not only in Ramadan, that's the Sunnah, not just in Ramadan. That is the Sunnah, that there's adhan before the actual break of dawn, and there's adhan at the break of dawn. The adhan of Bilal is at the break of dawn. The first adhan is from a different mu'adhin. And the Prophet distinguished between two adhans by two different mu'adhins.